The 15 Most Essential Recruiting Truths. Bill Brooks, founder of the Brooks Group, wrote a small but powerful book called The Universal Sales Truths, 101 Sales Truths to Guide Your Career, many years ago. This short publication has proven to be a bestseller, and it's been reprinted many times. What we're going to talk about in this session are 15 of the most essential sales truths from that book, as they relate to recruiting people for the service in the Air National Guard. We've got a lot to cover, so let's get going. Okay, here's number one. Leads and applicants pay attention to recruiters they believe have something important to say to them. Let's get behind this to discuss it a bit. What this statement says is you must be well positioned in your recruiting zone to achieve maximum success. If, in fact, you are thought of as a recruiter who is very knowledgeable about the Air National Guard and its opportunities, people will pay attention to your message. So, let's reverse the thought, and let me ask you a question. How could a recruiter be perceived as someone who doesn't have anything of importance to say to someone? Wouldn't that be somebody who has not prospected very well, has not asked the right questions, has not kept up with changes in the Air National Guard offerings, and then basically just gets in front of a lead and says, "Okay, here's what we do." Let's be even more basic than that. How about a recruiter who shows up late? How about a recruiter who makes a commitment but doesn't meet that commitment? How about a recruiter whose uniform is a mess? Or how about a recruiter who really comes across as someone who doesn't have much else to do, but kind of drop in and cold call? All of these position you as a recruiter who doesn't have anything better to say or do. You must absolutely position yourself as being the recruiter who possesses unique knowledge, wisdom, presence, persona, interest, advocacy, so that what happens is they see you as having something important to say to them. Otherwise, you have no impact. Poor recruiters have absolutely no impact on anyone. People don't even remember talking to them. They sort of blend in with the crowd of all the other recruiters they've talked to because they may look and act the same. So, you have to have something important to say. And just as importantly, you have to be perceived as being someone who has something important to say. All right, let's go to the next one. Number two, people join the Air National Guard for their own reasons, not for yours or mine. It's interesting the reasons why people join the Air National Guard. You know, you get it in your head as a recruiter, well, these are the top reasons why these particular people joined, so I'm going to communicate that to this new lead. Consequently, when you meet your lead, you may start to download on them a whole bunch of features or benefits that you think are most important. Why? Because in the past, you've discovered that these are common reasons why a lot of your applicants joined, or simply because you liked certain benefits associated with becoming a member of the Air National Guard. But the truth is that you have to hear from your applicant what they perceive as their reasons for joining. As they say, one person's trash is another person's treasure. The third truth we're going to discuss is as old as the hills, but it really is a truth. People do not want to be sold, but they do want to buy something. You know, people don't go out and say, "I'm going to go out and be sold to today on the idea of joining the military." They go out and they say, "I'm going shopping for the best opportunity, and I'll join the service that offers me what I'm looking for." So what happens is, the real subtlety here is that you have to make it their idea to join the Air National Guard. And you must do it in such a way that they feel good about their decision to commit, and they must believe it's their decision, not a decision forced on them. So, it's all nuance and subtlety, and the psychology of persuasion, and an understanding about asking the right questions and creating value. It's interesting, you know, when somebody goes out and has a very positive buying experience, they say, "Look what I bought." But if they have a negative buying experience, either with the salesperson or the actual product or service itself, they say, "Look what they sold me," and they reverse it. People like to take ownership if it was a good purchase, but they'll put the blame on somebody else if it was a bad purchase. Truth 4 is an interesting one. When a recruiter and a lead or applicant get locked into a war of wills, the recruiter always loses. Have you ever been locked in a war of wills with a salesperson? In those cases, the salesperson seems to have forgotten that you were the customer. And the bottom line is, you really don't care what his or her will is. You're the one that's paying. The same principle applies to the world of recruiting. Your applicants are going to feel the same way. They're not interested in getting a hard time from someone who's supposed to help them make one of the biggest career decisions of their life. After all, they're the ones who are paying by making a commitment to join. Number 5. Buying is basically an emotional response, no matter what you're selling. Now, when they say that, it's no matter what the price tag of the product or the length of the Air National Guard commitment, no matter whether it's a big ticket or a small ticket item. The decision to buy is always driven by emotion and justified with logic. For example, a prior service lead might be very concerned about the personal and family sacrifices associated with returning to military duty, but he or she may justify their decision by reminding himself or herself about benefits, like the extra income they need because they want to put their son or daughter through college. Now, if emotion played no part in the decision-making process, you wouldn't need human interaction for commercial selling or recruiting. Years ago, when all the dot-com craziness started, people were saying, well, computers are going to replace the human touch and the internet will drive salespeople completely out of the world. No, it's a human interaction process that occurs, and no technology can replace that. The bottom line is, selling is emotional. That's why it's very important to always be working on the interpersonal. Because what happens in the final analysis is, it's emotion that rules, not logic. Let's look at number 6. Being the sort of recruiter people enjoy doing business with is an invaluable asset. It's kind of like this. Leads and applicants don't want to do business with recruiters they don't enjoy being around. All things being equal, if I can enjoy being around someone, I'm more likely to want to associate with that person. Now, the real problem here is that some people confuse like with trust. When it comes to selling the Air National Guard opportunity, you have to be trustworthy. If you are an honest person with whom people enjoy doing business, the trust you've built becomes an invaluable asset. One of the key questions that you should ask yourself is, how easy is it for a lead or applicant to work with me? How enjoyable is it for a person to discuss their career options with me? If you're in a foul mood, the best thing that you can do as a recruiter is not get on the phone or in front of somebody that day, because it's very, very difficult to keep that anger or aggression or chip on your shoulder from coming through. And it's very easy to get agitated in today's world. There's a great classic book by Og Mandino called The Greatest Salesman in the World. A line in the book says, "Approach everyone with love in your heart." It really means be trustworthy and approach your leads, applicants, and influencers in a positive way. You see, all of this stuff ties together. Live each day as if it were your last. You know, have a sense of humor and don't take yourself too seriously. You have to be the type of recruiter that people enjoy doing business with. That's an invaluable asset because, again, it's the humanity that rules. Now, let's take a look at number 7. If you don't gain enough accessions, you won't make a living as a recruiter. This one's obvious, but very much a truth. You're not a professional visitor or a professional host. In the final analysis, it's relationships. It's asking the right questions. It's selling value. But in the real, real final case, the bottom line is, if you are either reluctant to or incapable of asking someone to take action, you're never going to be a good recruiter. Now, we're not talking about prematurely pushing someone or talking about asking them to commit. One of the problems we have sometimes is that people think if you do the first 5 steps of the impact selling system correctly, you don't have to actually ask someone to take action. They think people will just volunteer to join the Air National Guard. Well, the truth is, if you don't ask someone to commit, they aren't going to do anything. So if you fail to gain those accessions, you won't make a living as a recruiter for very long. Number 8. Leads and applicants must believe you before they'll commit to joining the Air National Guard. And that's a lot tougher to do than you think it is. You see, all things being equal, many people fundamentally don't believe recruiters. They mistrust recruiters because they believe recruiters have something to gain from the transaction. We've all seen or heard about some pretty manipulative, pretty bad salespeople or recruiters. Most of us are simply jaded by the experiences we've had in the past. And so what happens is, you absolutely better make sure that people believe you before you ask them to commit. you must provide things like social proof, third-party validation, an opportunity to experience the Air National Guard lifestyle, and the option to talk with happy, satisfied guardsmen. All of these actions are absolutely even more critical than ever in today's recruiting environment. All right, how about number 9? You can only convince others of what you yourself believe. The first thing that probably popped into your mind when you heard that statement was likely related to the value of joining the Air National Guard. Here's the truth about it. If you don't believe in what the Air National Guard has to offer its unit members, your applicant certainly won't either. You're going to come across as hollow and without conviction. If you don't believe in the mission of the Air National Guard, the value of your features and benefits, the quality of the people who serve in the Guard, your skills at making correct recommendations, your ability to follow up on every detail, and the credibility of the Air National Guard to live up to its promises, you can't be an effective recruiter. You're certainly not going to be able to convince anybody else if you don't believe it yourself. After all, you aren't really asking your leads and applicants to put a lot of confidence in you. Aren't you really asking your leads and applicants to put a lot of confidence in you? Number 10. A strong, positive self-concept is the most valuable personal attribute any recruiter can have. What do you think we mean by that? When we say self-concept, we're really asking, how well are you positioned with yourself? When you look in the mirror, not when other people look at you, but when you look in the mirror, how strongly do you feel about the person that looks back at you? Because guess what? That's the same person your leads, applicants, and influencers are going to see every single day. Number 11. The Air National Guard determines the cost or length of the commitment, but only the applicant can determine its true value. Now, what does that mean? That means that you, as a recruiter, have to be in a position to understand what your applicant perceives as value, and then be able to construct and communicate your recommendations in the exact terms that each specific applicant wants to hear them. This way, they can then internalize your proposal and decide that, yes, this is a valuable opportunity for me, and I'm prepared to commit to it. Number 12, show people what they need most in a way they want to see it, and they will move heaven and earth to get it. But the bottom line to this is, people don't buy what they need, they buy what they want. What you need to be able to do is to position and sell the Air National Guard opportunities in the way in which your applicant wants to perceive it. Number 13, all values are equal until someone points out the difference. Now, what that means is, a truck is a truck, a car is a car, a computer is a computer, and the branches of the military are all the same, until someone points out the difference. To much of the American public, the services are all the same. How many times have you been called a soldier? Furthermore, you've probably noticed that most people can't tell you the difference between the active duty Air Force Reserve, or the Air National Guard. In fact, they might even have called your service the International Guard. Therefore, it's up to you to educate your leads, applicants, and influencers, and point out what makes the Air National Guard different and better. Number 14. It is always easier to sell to an applicant's perceived need than it is to create a need in their mind. Have you ever said to yourself, well, I'm going to go out and create a need for people to join the Air National Guard? If you believe that's easy, you're in for a rude awakening. The fact is, you actually want to be in a position of being in front of someone who already has a need for what the Air National Guard has to offer. For example, someone who already knows they need money for college, technical training, extra income, or the desire to experience the many other tangible and intangible benefits that go along with being a member of the Air National Guard. How much harder do you think it is to create a need in someone's mind when they don't know they need what you can offer? Much harder. And that's why prospecting, positioning, and being in the right place at the right time is so critical. All of those actions are critical to your success. Finally, number 15, the secret to successful selling is not in the selling at all. Instead, it's in the accurate, consistent science of prospecting. Well, Recruiters live and breathe by the number of qualified leads they have in their data bank, don't they? Don't you find your recruiting career to be a lot more enjoyable when you have lots of qualified leads ready to meet with you? Absolutely. We want to end this particular session with that because it is so absolutely critical. Remember, the secret to successful selling is not the selling. Instead, it's in the accurate, consistent science of prospecting. And you'll notice we said science, that when practiced correctly, becomes an art. That's it. The 15 greatest recruiting truths ever. As we said earlier, there are plenty more, but building your recruiting efforts around the 15 truths we just talked about will go a long way in making and keeping you a success.